This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue in Galatians with Christian freedom, the offense of the cross, keep in step with the Spirit, bear one another's burdens, and do good to all. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Amen. Lord will reign forever and ever. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now.
A reading from Ezekiel chapter 36. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Proclaim his salvation from day to day. Is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep?
Hear to the Lord all glory and strength. Give him the honor to his name. Alleluia, alleluia.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
How appropriate it is that we close out this Easter week almost exactly where we began, back on the vigil of Easter. On the vigil of Easter, it was the Lord and giver of life hovering over the face of the abyss. It was Noah and his family, eight souls and all, rescued from the waters, by the waters, and separated from all evil. It was Israel passing through the Red Sea, saving water on dry ground. And hard-hearted Pharaoh and his demonic minions, enemies of God and of God's people, crushed by the sea's towering walls, destructive water. It was another in the place of the doomed at Mount Moriah, the promise of Abraham to Abraham of a multitude of offspring, children of Abraham by faith in the ram's antitype, the Lamb of God who bore the sin of the world. In Isaiah 55, it was, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters." It was the people of Israel safe on the other side of the Jordan, hearing the law of their Lord God saying, "I rescued you from Egypt. You're not going to have any other gods. I've made you mine." It was rattling dry bones resuscitated and resinewed and remuscled. It was worm-eaten Job rising with his eyes and therefore his body intact, only to see his death-defeating Redeemer God. It was hope for even the worst. Imagine it, God-forsaken, God-hating Nineveh in sackcloth and ashes, of all the things, save from a certain and impending judgment and Gentile sinners calling upon the name of the Lord. It was the Lord himself dwelling in the midst of those who bore his name, even in their trials, in the midst of Hananiah, Yahweh is gracious, Mishael, what is what God is, and Azariah, Yahweh is my helper, the three men in the burning furnace. And it was, of course, our reading for today. So what in the world was the point of all of that back on the vigil of Easter? Well, there's a die out there called a D120. I found it online the other night. It's known as a dis-diakis triakontahedron. Say that 10 times fast. It's a 2 times 2 times 30 faced die. It's a die with 120 faces. There's nothing, absolutely nothing, that you can do to take in the whole die at one moment. By the time you get to the fifth side and examining the die, you'll be lucky to remember what you saw on the first, and by the time you've got to the tenth, you'll surely have forgotten what the first even looks like, what color it is. And that's what your baptism is like. Try to measure it, and you're going to fail. It's too big. It's too many faceted. It's the creation, the flood, the exodus, the vicarious ram, water for the parched, the promised land, re-spirited bones, Job's empty grave, sinners made saints, Gentiles made Jews, three men in a furnace. It's all of them and much, much, much more wrapped up into one. All you can have of the whole thing is a sort of impression, maybe even when you get to heaven. All you can do then on earth is take it one side by one side. And the side we have today is Ezekiel 36. The Lord spoke through his prophet, "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses." Whatever the God of Israel touched, that was clean. And in turn, whoever is touched by what the God of Israel touched and has made clean at his command, he is clean. And so also, according to Christ's command, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You have been touched by clean water and in turn cleansed from your uncleannesses by the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses us from all sin. The Lord spoke through his prophet, "From all of your idols I will cleanse you. I will give you a new heart, and I will put my spirit within you. A drowning death for old Adam, and in the place of old Adam, a new man, a new living heart, animated not by the elemental spirits of this world, but by the Spirit of God, who is the Lord and giver of life." The Lord speaking through his prophet, "I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." Faith in the heart, pumping life throughout your being through Christ, to whom faith clings. Life in Christ for death with Satan. The Lord spoke to his prophet, "I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and to be careful to obey my rules." Beloved in the Lord, the baptized life must always be the baptized life. If the Lord baptizes living, breathing human beings and makes them his own, if he joins them to Christ's death and resurrection, to new life, apart from sin, if that's as real as the water that was poured over your head and the pastor's hand that it did it, then it can't be nothing. If the old heart, death-bent, has been ripped out and a heart of flesh transplanted in its place, then what that new heart animates must have a life that accords with the Spirit. It must. Oh, sure, I know what's happening in your heads right now. You're running right now to the simul. You're trotting out that passage from the Confessions and saying, "Yeah, but it's just a beginning." You're pointing to your final and eschatological righteousness, your perfection among the saints in heaven, and saying, "Yeah, then, but not now." But you can't let any of that stand in the way of these words. "I will cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. That's just what the baptized life looks like. So imagine a pathway that's the only way that you can go. Put a man on that pathway with a heart of rock, right? Dead, pretty much. All you can do is beat the guy, prod him, and pull him to get him to move along the path, and then he's probably not going to do very well. But the new obedience is entirely different. Put a man with a heart of flesh on the same path, and he can and he will walk and run and skip up and down that path all day long. That's the image here. The Lord has cleansed you, and he's given you a new heart, a heart of flesh, a heart that pumps. What other result can there be? And finally, the Lord speaking through his prophet, "You shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God." Brothers and sisters in Christ, the baptized life is never, ever alone or without a place. It is lived in the land of your fathers, in the Holy Christian Church, among the saints of now and among the saints who have gone before, and in the presence of your God who mystically dwells within each of you through faith, and who dwells in his whole people by his holy word and blessed sacraments. That's just one facet of your baptism. There are many, many more. One glorious side of your multifaceted life in Christ through water and the Word. May the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who raised him from the dead, keep all of you, in the grace of your baptism to life everlasting. God grant it for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
In our prayers, we pray for Dr. Roland Ziegler and his family as they mourn the death of his mother, Laura.
O Lord, hear my prayer. Let us pray. O God, for our redemption you gave your only begotten Son to the death of the cross, and by his glorious resurrection delivered us from the power of the enemy. Grant that all our sin may be drowned through daily repentance, and that day by day we may arise to live before you in righteousness and purity forever. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord God, maker of heaven and earth and giver of life, we thank you for all the mercies you granted to Laura during her earthly life, especially for calling her to faith in Jesus Christ. Comfort the survivors who mourn her death with the hope of the glorious resurrection and a joyful reunion in heaven. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all.
Amen.